All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Sun is shining. A new week is upon us. Barry, Nick, and Joel, all present and accounted for, which means your week just got a whole hell of a lot better. And we're going to be with you all week, Monday through Friday, 1, 2, 4 p.m. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Fellas, without further ado, good to have everybody back in again for another straight show after Friday.
Yeah, unless somebody gets sick, it's going to be a full week, which we haven't had.
In 3 weeks? No more than that, because you were out the week before.
Yeah, at least maybe four.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the people.
Good stuff. Do you?
Yeah. They had to endure a lot until they got us all back.
Yeah. But the gang's all here, so let's do this.
No doubt. El Jefe, by the way, was asking me about, because I gave him a hard time and told him to go back and listen to the podcast, and he knew that we were giving him a hard time about those Raheel and Dell shirts.
Right.
And he said, so what design would you use? And I said, use the Usual Suspect poster, but put our faces on them.
Yeah.
And instead, he used the press conference with the Ball brothers signing in Lithuania that he had already sent to us.
Stupid.
We're like, just look up the movie. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that was dumb. Did you guys do anything fun this weekend? No? I did.
Did you?
I did. Actually, I don't know if it would qualify as fun, but it was a bit different. Have you ever played the game Cards Against Humanity?
I have not. What is that?
Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
Apparently not.
Nope.
Me either.
So it's a card game, and I was skeptical of this when I saw it. So my sister's had a birthday. Well, my half-sister was born January 1st, and my older sister, was born January 28th. So I couldn't make it to my sister's birthday. So I was like, hey, let's just have one. You know, we'll have dinner at my house. I'll have you guys over. We'll celebrate your birthdays together and hang out and whatever. So, and remind me to tell you the story about the cake.
Yeah.
But one of the things that my younger half-sister wanted was she wanted an expansion pack for this game Cards Against Humanity that she plays with her friends. I was like, I had heard of it, but I didn't really know about the game. I had seen posts on social media, but I didn't know what it was. So I'm at Target getting the expansion pack, and I'm reading what the game is. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm not a big board game guy. I'll play, but I don't really – like, we had Jenga. I was like, well, if we get bored and drunk, we'll play Jenga. That might be fun. So I buy her the expansion pack, and we're hanging out. She goes, oh, I brought all my cards if you guys want to play. I was like, not really. She was like, come on, let's play. That was the most fun I've had in a long-ass time. So basically, the game is this.
Were you the thimble?
No. By the way, never go thimble in Monopoly. That's
no.
The worst. That's the gayest.
Yeah. That's
you a, can't know.
You're asking like, for it.
Never go thimble. Why? You got to go
no
dog.
Idea.
You got to go car. You got to go dog. Don't know. Not thimble.
No.
You might as well, if they had a flower, would you be the flower?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Basically the game is this. There's these white cards that you draw that are in your hand, and then there's a black card, and then you read the black card, and it's basically like, it's almost like Mad Libs. Do you remember Mad Libs?
Yeah, I do. I loved them.
Where it would be like, insert an adjective here. So it would be like, it would say something to the effect of, you're sitting around the house watching blank when blank. And then you have to play two cards in your hand that have a random phrase on it. And it sounds weird, but I was surprised how much fun it really was and how much
really?
I thought it was going to be really stupid. I strongly suggest if you have a chance to play it, play it.
Mad Libs were fun. Nick, because we're older than you. Do you ever do Mad Libs?
No.
Mad
Libs was out getting laid. He didn't do Mad Libs.
No,
Mad Libs was like a whole notebook of stories. But you, like, if I'm doing Mad Libs with you, I would never tell you the story. I'd say, I need a noun. I need an adjective. And you just had to give me one of, like, the first
thing
that comes
to
your mind.
He doesn't know what those are.
No, I do know what those are. I think there's, like, similar game, like, drunk, stupid, and high or something. Like, it's a similar game where you have to, like, complete the sentence.
Right.
And all they provide you with is like the noun or the or adjective. And it could be something. And the goal is to be as ridiculous as possible. But it's a similar idea.
I highly recommend Cards Against Humanity, though, if you're just looking for something to do, hanging out. A lot of fun.
It sounded racist the way you described it.
Right. Black cards and white cards.
White cards. And then you had to draw a black one. And then the black tells you what to do. I mean, just,
And then it was an interesting weekend because I wanted to get them a cake made. So I went to HEB. And I asked the lady, I was like, hey, can I cuss on the cake? And she was like, what? I was like, can I put like a cuss word on the cake? She was like, I don't know. What do you want? I wanted to say happy birthday, bitches. And she was like, oh, I don't know. And so she started asking around. And everybody was like, they didn't know. I guess they've never had a request to make a cake with a cuss word on it. She was like, and then she just finally goes, customer's always right.
Well, there you
go. And so she made me a cake that said, happy birthday, bitches. But the problem was, I don't know if it was that lady or what lady it is that made the cake, but it was almost illegible. It looked like.
Tweeted it, and I saw it. And it was pretty jammed together.
It kind of looked like someone wrote it with their foot. Like, it was like. Like if it was Trey's handwriting, you know, like very Michael J. Fox-ish. It was just, and so I tweeted a picture of it, and I was like, "Hey, I got this cake for my sisters, and it says Happy Birthday, bitches." But you can't read that because I think the lady that did this was drunk when she wrote it. So I just tweeted it out, and I tagged HEB because that's where I got it. So I was like, "Oh yeah, HEB. I think the lady at HEB was drunk." I'm not expecting anything. I just was. Then the next thing I know, about a couple hours later, I get a tweet from HEB that says, hey, Barry, we're sorry about that. What location were you at? And, you know, what was the give us the location. And they wanted something. Oh, and your info. And then we'll get back to you. And I was like, man, I don't want to get this lady in trouble. So I just tweeted back to him and said, nah, I'm not a snitch. I'm not snitching on that lady.
I saw that.
So, yeah. So that was really interesting. Oh, look. Somebody's tweeting me their Cards Against Humanity. Okay, I'm going to see if you might have to dump this, Nick. Get ready. I don't know if this is allowed or not. You have to be the judge of this. You know what? I'll read it after the break. That way I can ask. Yeah, we'll do that.
Nick has to be the judge, which is always putting squarely in the hands of the jury.
Just be safe and dump it.
No, but it's so it was a cool weekend, man. I had a lot of fun celebrating birthdays with the kid sisters and
your cake thing made me think of my sister, who retired early, right? And she doesn't have any issues financially. Her and her husband are both retired early, but they sent Taylor, and she sends me a heads up. Hey, I sent Taylor a whole bunch of clothes for Christmas. Okay, cool. Why is it that she feels like the best place to get these clothes are on Amazon from all, like, the tags don't even say sizes. It just has, like, Asian numbers and everything. And so Lisa's opening these up, and there's no return. There's no gift receipt. There's no label. So I go, did you just send the clothes? Do they look like this? And she's like, yeah, maybe. I think one of them said, and there's a Christmas tree on it, and it said, me fur chi, with like lines in between. Me fur chi. So Lisa goes, what language is this? So I go, I don't know. So I took a picture of it and I sent it to her. I go, did you send this too? And she goes, yeah. I go, what the hell does it say? What language is it? She goes, I don't know. Send me another picture where it's closer. I go, you can read it right there because no one can read it. It doesn't matter how close I get. She goes back. She goes, I think it was supposed to say my first Christmas. I go, you do know she's 2.5.
Me first.
She goes, well, I knew it wasn't her first Christmas, but I thought, I go, what is wrong with you?
Was it just worn out?
No, it was because it was from some Chinese manufacturer on Amazon that was just trying to mass produce shirts. And none of this stuff fit. They're not the wrong. She said, well, maybe you can shrink it, but don't tell anybody that. I go, don't tell anybody. Don't send it.
That's bad.
So Taylor had a shirt that said, me for chi instead of my first Christmas. At least it's not something that Christmas you can only wear during the holidays, too. I was like, oh, right. Then she comes back. She goes, we'll donate it all to charity, and we'll find something with a brand name. I go, oh, okay. It's not worth all that.
Somebody, Gilbert and a few others on the text lines were saying, what do you meme is another game that's fun that's similar to Cards Against Humanity.
M-E-M-E?
M-E, yeah, meme. What do you meme?
Okay.
Yeah, that's... That's pretty bad that they gave you like off. That's like the stuff that even Marshalls wouldn't take, right?
Right.
Because usually Marshalls is like the irregulars and one sleeve.
And we're looking
than
at it, and it looks, some of it looks kind of big, some of it looks kind of small. Lisa goes, well, "What size is that?" And I go, "Can you read Chinese?" Because I don't know.
It's a size.
Or it's like triple digits. Like Taylor's like between 4T, 5T right now. But it would be like 158. I go, I don't know what 158 is, but I'll assume that that's,
Wow.
So, yeah, it was crazy. Mm. Anyway, we're just getting started. We want you to join us because we have a lot of fun on this program, but we call ourselves the usual suspects because we rely on you guys to participate. So the HRP listener line phone number, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. Or you can hit us directly on Twitter, which is at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4. Hopefully you will be too. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Just getting started as we take it till 4. Then we'll turn it over to Fred, AJ, and The Blitz. As we were talking a little bit about the weekend before we get knee deep in sports,
I have played that game, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah. My first card. Now that you mention it, my first card was my vagina.
That was what your card said. The one,
yeah,
on
and
the white
the sentence
card
was nothing smells worse than. And then I put
your card. That's my, the card you played.
Yeah, my, and I won. I won that round.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Francisco sent me one that said we played it on Christmas Eve. My mom won the round with the following. Alternative medicine is now embracing the curative powers of blank. And then she played, alternative medicine is now embracing the curative powers of getting hilariously gangbanged by the Blue Man Group. So that's what mom is playing. Yeah, there's I found a thing. Maybe I'll read a few more as we go
What's
through
it called?
The show.
Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's a really good game.
A lot of fun.
Now that I remember it, it's
yeah,
a really
now
good
game. Now all of a sudden you're like a spokesperson.
Yeah, I found a website that has like 51 of them. I'll sprinkle them in throughout the show, but here's one. What brought the orgy to a grinding halt? And then you play a card.
Yeah.
And this person played Child Protective Services.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. This is, yeah. It's I have never, I like I said, when we were in Target and I was reading about it, I was like, this sounds so stupid. Like, just dumb. And then I played it. I was like, oh, this is way too fun. So, good times had by all. Did you watch any football this weekend?
I did. I watched it. We were pretty spot on, by the way, on the game.
The two that could have been.
I called the upset because I thought it was coming. I said Atlanta all along. You said Atlanta and Carolina. At least the NFC games were somewhat interesting, compelling, and close. Because, God, some of that was bad football. And the officiating was horrible.
Yeah, the officiating in the Saints game, the
was
Carolina.
Bad.
Yeah.
The Buffalo-Jacksonville wasn't great.
Yeah. First of all, that Jacksonville game, was this 10 to, or 17 to,
Didn't it end up 17-10? Is that right?
No, it was 10 to 3, the Jags-Bills game.
Yeah, it was 10 to 3.
That was the final?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
And Jong was saying that in the ratings, the number that they pulled was higher than the combined title score.
Yeah.
So they drew a 17-1. They scored 13 points combined. That one I could barely sit through. It's one of those things where I saw some good football in there, but it's just, I still want to see more scoring. I don't want
no
it to
question
be just
about
a
it. And we all knew Jacksonville had
game.
A defense, but especially with the fact that Shady McCoy did play.
Didn't Blake Bortles outrush him?
Yeah, but Blake Bortles also only passed for like 86 yards.
My goodness.
Just terrible.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor got his bell rung.
Yep.
And then Cam gets his bell rung. And the Cam one, I understand you need him out on the field at the end of the game. But that was one where it was so quick and he was so dazed and confused when he went down that it was like, come on, man. Even the announcers were saying, he's not coming back.
But it was his eye.
And he said it was his eye. But, I mean.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of stuff on ESPN that was like, oh, concussion protocol. But he said it was eye. And apparently he passed when he went into the tent because they took him right to the tent.
that's why this whole thing with who's in the tent and how they decide, they might want to do a redo on how they do that, because it still seems like.
Do they still have a team rep in the tent?
I don't know if the team rep. Now, it's supposed to be an impartial third party that's doing the evaluation, but it doesn't seem like that's the outcome that they've been getting. When you look at what happened with Savage, when you look at the Russell Wilson one, when you look at both of them yesterday, it just seems to me like they can't get a really orderly fashion for how they go about that.
Well, it was funny because you said you it called the Falcons game, and Charlie had asked us last week on Friday,
yes.
What road team, because all the home teams were favorites, what road team would you pick? You said Falcons, and I said Falcons or Panthers.
Right.
And I don't think anyone thought that the Titans would beat the Chiefs.
Right. Completely agree.
And that one has got, you know, I feel kind of bad because there's a ton of talk about firing Andy Reid. I mean, Dell and Raheel were talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's been that I was this morning, I finally had to turn it off, but Stephen A. Smith, they were arguing about, you know, Andy Reid and should he be fired or not. I don't blame him for that loss. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But when you look at the fact that, one, they didn't score after Travis Kelce got hurt and left the game.
True.
They didn't score another point. And the fact that Mariota touchdown to himself was such a fluke play. I'm not saying that they don't score, but it's such a fluke play that if that's what they end up losing on, how can you blame Andy Reid for that?
Well, he's been working on that play forever, Barry. I mean, that's a play that he's drawn up in his front yard forever and a day.
I think they're giving him a lot of credit because of that one block he had at the end of the game.
Well, did you see that one of the sites when they did the graphic for his name said Marcus Mariota, quarterback, receiver, offensive lineman, because of the fact that he blocked, caught his own pass,
that's funny,
and threw it.
It was the obvious thing to do.
Well, I agree with you on the Andy Reid front. I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a more glorified, more deserved Bill O'Brien, and yet he's always under fire. But he seems to win the regular season, and he gets him in a place where he gets him to the postseason. But the weird thing is people are calling for his job. Yet his offensive coordinator just got named the head coach. Matt Nagy just got the head coach of the Chicago Bears, which I love because the Bears can't do wrong right. They're so screwed up that they go and make that move with all the choices that they could have made. But his offensive coordinator gets a job out of the deal. He's a very good coach.
Yeah.
He took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. You know, he did a lot of good things in Philadelphia, too. He's just one of those guys that gets scrutinized because he can't get over the big hump and win the big one, but he wins divisions, he gets to the playoffs, and he's won some playoff games.
I liked him in Philadelphia. I was surprised they got rid of him when he left Philadelphia and got the Kansas City job, honestly.
Dude, his record at KC is something to marvel at in today's NFL. He's gone 11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6. And he's done that with a guy in Alex Smith who has never been a world beater.
Yep.
He's made the playoffs all but one year, and the one year that he didn't make it is playoff worthy in this town. He went 9-7 and finished second in the division and didn't make the playoffs. I mean, he's never had a losing season in Kansas City.
That's what I'm saying.
And they're wanting to run him. And I think he's
yet guys like Marvin Lewis still have a job.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher kept one with a 500 record forever.
Yeah.
And yet Andy Reid's being scrutinized. I just don't get it.
He's 11th all time in wins.
He's been held to a high standard his whole...
He's 11th all-time in wins, and people are scrutinizing that?
He's won 183.
But they want to give Bill O'Brien a multi-year extension?
Yeah, he's won 183 games. He's got a 60.2 winning percentage. So let's play a quick game. Who will go high, if you think, higher or lower than Andy Reid's winning percentage at 60.2?
Okay.
If I asked you, Pete Carroll, higher or lower than Andy Reid? As far as winning percentage,
because we're playing the game, I'll say lower.
It is lower.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of people
would say higher. I would say higher.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be like higher.
Right.
Bill Parcells,
lower.
It is lower. That's right. Mike Zimmer,
lower.
Higher.
Because a shorter window too.
Yeah.
He hasn't been a head coach that long.
Yeah. Where to go? There was a good one in here.
Here's the thing. From all the things you've said, too, a lot of these coaches that you're naming, they're great coaches, but they had to endure losing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid has never had to endure that kind of losing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're ahead of guys like Bill Parcells and...
Yeah.
Let's see. Where'd it go? There was a really good one in here. That was like... I was kind of surprised.
Now, Barry, because the new ratings are out, and because we have surpassed, due to recent events, the Raheel and Dell show for the shortest wait times on phone calls, we're going to make sure that we get these calls because they screwed up royally and we're not going to do the same
thing. Okay, let's do
it. So let's get Nick first because Nick wants to get in here on your card games. Nick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just going to comment. I was in Target not too long ago, and they had a huge display for a game called Exploding Kittens. And
what?
It was advertised. Yeah, Exploding Kittens. It was advertised to be like a competitor of Cards Against Humanity. And it said it was like Kickstarter's number one seller that they're selling off the shelves. And sure enough, there was only. I'm going to check this out. No, it's complete garbage. Like, there's not really. There's no strategy. There's nothing fun about it, really. I was just kind of warning you guys not to pick that one up.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Stay away from Exploding Kittens.
Which is a motto I live by anyways.
But feel free to indulge in Cards Against Humanity. Yeah. Nick, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining on the HR&P listener line. We love that. Sal wants to get in here on Concussion Protocol. Sal, what's up?
Always stay away from Exploding Kittens.
No doubt about
it. No, my question is, if you get knocked out, does that necessarily mean you have a concussion? Because everybody is like, what's going on under the tent? But does that necessarily mean that you have light sensitivity and things of that nature that you know, bring up a concussion?
Well, Sal, after my first year in medical school, no, I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night. I can't answer that.
I hear you, and I don't know either, but that's what I'm saying. You sound like you getting upset about the third party guy that's actually in the tent, but the guy probably passed the test. He was not concussed. It just looked bad because he got knocked out.
No, and I'm not upset. I'm just trying to look out. You know, we've gone through the whole, we've seen everything with CTE and everything else. I just want the fair evaluation done, and I don't know that you can get fair with a team personnel member in that tent with that guy because you know which way they're leaning, and you really should be caring about the long-term health of the player. As difficult as that is in such a very, very you know, strenuous and stressful situation like a tight playoff game.
Yeah, and I could see where – but I just don't know if that would happen every time, right? Like, I would – the decent part of my heart would like to think that when the guy goes in there representing the team or the Panthers in the case of Cam Newton, that he's not in there going, you know, just let's get him back out there. Let's get. I have a feeling that he wants to represent what's best for Cam, but if it's close is where it comes down to. Like, if you ask him a bunch of stuff or he's not following your finger correctly or whatever, that's one thing. But if they're like, are you seeing lights? Remember, he got hit in the eye. That'll make you see spots and stuff.
But he wears a visor, Barry.
Yeah, but he said the helmet came down.
He said that, right? But here's a guy that doesn't want to be out of the game,
too,
right?
J.J. Watt cut his nose. The helmet came down, so it happens.
Okay.
I mean, and there's a padding right up there on top of the forehead, so I can see where that would push it down.
Here's my deal. I don't I think he may be right, too, that if you get knocked out, that doesn't necessarily mean you suffered a concussion. But if you got knocked out, I mean, in my unexpert opinion, I wouldn't want you back on the field. I think that's just so unhealthy anyway.
In the case of Tyrod Taylor, his fingers stiffened up saw with Tom Savage.
I was going to say, Tom Savage, when he's shaking like that, you got to know.
Get him out.
You're done.
Yeah.
In the case of Tom Savage, there's no reason he should have came back in that game. As far as Cam Newton goes, you have to take the player's word for it, too, that it was his eye. I mean, at some point.
With a man wearing a windshield. I just, you know.
Here you go. Here's the last two. As far as coaching, was Andy Reid's winning percentage higher or lower than John Gruden?
Higher.
It is higher.
Okay.
I don't think a lot of people would have thought that either with the $100 million man.
Again, forget with Gruden because of a name.
Yeah. Andy Reid, higher or lower winning percentage than Mike Martz?
Well, he had some good and he also had some bad. So, again, I'll just stick with the higher.
Yeah. Mike Martz wasn't all that great. But, yeah, he has a much higher winning percentage than Andy Reid. Crazy, though. I mean, Andy Reid has a higher winning percentage than a lot of quality coaches
Cleveland
in the NFL.
Browns come to mind, but there's plenty of teams out there that would take Andy Reid or should want to take Andy Reid in a heartbeat.
If somebody were like, hey, we'll swap you Andy Reid for Bill O'Brien, I'm done. I wouldn't even let them finish the sentence.
I had people tweet me yesterday going, if they free up Andy Reid, the Texans should stop right in mid-sentence with Bill O'Brien and get Andy Reid in here.
Yep.
I don't disagree.
We'll pay your last year. Bye.
And he's a prodigy of the Bill Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
With all the started in Green Bay. So, all right, we'll continue. I didn't do that. By the way, though, the Packers did get their new general manager right out from underneath the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We can talk about that when we get back. But the Texans' search continues. The Packers have a new general manager. He was due to interview in Houston last night. So that's something we can touch on. But, of course, Charlie Palillo will be in next. So the usual suspects welcome in a person of interest that we welcome on Mondays and Fridays. Charlie joins us for the next half hour coming up in the next segment to start things off on the new week. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back half hour into the opening hour of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. We bring in our usual guest on Mondays and Fridays, 1:30 to 2, none other than Charlie Palillo, a master at Cards Against Humanity. And I believe, what's the other one, Barry? Exploding Kittens?
Yeah. I don't believe.
Sound very nice.
It doesn't, does it? And the caller said that he actually saw a display for it at Target.
You don't strike me as a Cards Against Humanity type of fella.
Well, considering I hadn't heard about it until 45 seconds ago,
like,
right?
Yeah, you seem like you would play
an
more
online game.
More, no, it's a card game where you get cards. It's I was explaining it like
Canasta's
Mad Libs.
Is probably more my style.
Canasta. Wow. I pegged you for a thinking man's game kind of fella, like playing backgammon or chess.
Never played a lot of backgammon, but liked it. Did about one semester of chess team, but like ninth grade.
You don't claim
like
that a lot, do you?
No,
you were really on the chess team?
I mean, you just put it on the air, so it's...
Hey!
Chess team? Did you guys have letter jackets for that?
Letter C, as a matter of fact.
Oh, man.
No.
No, that part I made up.
Okay. Okay.
Why is chess team a stigma?
That's a sport?
I mean...
It's like you're comparing that to you're eating boogers.
That's a sport? I mean,
no denial.
No, I don't eat boogers, but I'm, you know, coincidentally.
Fastball on the inside corner.
Coincidentally, I'm dealing with this with my daughter right now, trying to make sure she doesn't.
Oh, wow.
$10.
Yeah, that's a challenge, too. Oh. Yes, Spalding, I got you. But at least you were familiar with Mad Libs.
Well,
from
sure
our youth. Yeah, those were fun. I was trying. Nick, of course, was from a different generation, wasn't familiar with Mad Libs.
But
Nick never knew the joy of Choose Your Own Adventure books either.
Or the...
Yes.
The modern online.
It's like a Mad Lib. Well, it's not online. It's just a card game you play at the table while you drink and get drunk. And yeah,
okay,
it's
so
fun.
Like Scattergories or Pictionary.
No idea what those are. What is Scattergories?
It's similar.
You.
It's more of a like a board game like you're talking about.
Is it?
About. Yeah.
You a Monopoly guy, Charlie?
Too long.
He's the thimble.
Yeah.
We tricked up rules where a lot of money wound up in free parking.
What? Like you made up your own version of it?
We adapted it to kind of move it along.
What are you, Daryl Morey?
Well.
Did you find out?
Just
that,
making up
did
rules.
Did you put a salary cap
level
in, too?
Of success?
Jeez. Okay. All right. So your takeaways, you had asked us on Friday about the wild card games and asked us to kind of give our opinions on road team that had the best chance.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But your overall takeaway on which were some really bad football games, especially in the AFC. But the NFC, at least they were somewhat competitive. But just since, you know, you can catch Charlie on Sports Map 94.1 from 11 to 1. You've already dove into this and we're delving into these topics. What was the big topic today in terms of the takeaway from those games?
For me, it was Andy Reid. He's a good coach. He runs a good offense, but every year in the playoffs, he figures out how to mess something up, whether it's the clock or the game or deciding to never hand the ball to the NFL's leading rusher, despite his best pass-catching weapon, Travis Kelce, being right. concussed and out of the game before halftime. So the way they spat that up at home. I mean, it's hard, unless you're like the Cleveland Browns. Right? The Texans were garbage this season, as it turned out. At no point did they lose six consecutive home games.
Now, we were just talking
about this. 2-14, I'm not sure they lost six consecutive home games. Well, I guess they did because they started 2-0 and then lost their last. But you have to be extremely bad to lose six consecutive home games. The Chiefs have lost six consecutive home playoff games now going.
And they got a hell of a home field advantage.
Yes. And I understand you're not playing any schlub
right
at home in the playoffs. But to lose six straight, and these aren't all on Andy Reid's record, but it was the same thing in Philadelphia, except for the one time with Terrell Owens right. where they got through. It was the Colts 3-4 years ago where they had like 38-14 in the third quarter and figured out how to lose that one. Mariota's looking terrible. They're up 21-3 at the half. You're at home. But specifically, to never give the ball in the second half to Kareem Hunt. It's like, I've always thought that some offensive coordinators, not overtly, but where they get to prove how smart they are or how unsmart they are, is their newfangled passing games. And look at our route trees. And look how we spread the field. And I can outthink you here. As opposed to sometimes, if that's where you're better, just run the damn ball and beat the other team.
Well, don't forget, I mean, I mentioned it early on when we were talking about it, but you had the pass to himself by Mariota for a touchdown. That was fluky. They had a missed field goal. Losing Kelce was tough for them.
Yes.
And I felt like they was trying to overcompensate by getting Hill involved more in the passing game and, like you said, ignoring Hunt. But at the end of the day, how much blame does the defense get? You gave up 19 points in the second half.
Three touchdowns, three drives.
Yeah, you can't. So, the touchdown by Mariota's pass to himself, the missed field goal, they lose by one. I don't know that I pin it all on Andy Reid.
Can't pin it all on Andy Reid because it was good enough of a performance for their offensive coordinator to get the head coaching job of the Chicago Bears.
How psyched are they? Where they're hoping now, this guy turns 40 in April, so he's not Sean McVay young, but they're hoping obviously he could do with Trubisky what McVay did with Jared Goff, well, until Saturday night's Jared Goff. So, I mean, Tennessee at New England, that's a shock if it's anything closer than, what, 30-10? How can Tennessee have any shot there? I'm curious now with Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Jacksonville killed them there early in the year. I think if Antonio Brown's calf is all right, the Steelers are going to win. This is in January in Pittsburgh, and we're back to this Blake Bortles, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're running the option
Oklahoma,
if you run for more than you throw as an NFL quarterback,
I
saw a headline that said the only thing that can beat Jacksonville is Blake Bortles.
Well, I think he's down to the task on Sunday.
Now, do you guys agree or disagree that was the Alex Smith Bowl? A lot of people said that was the end destination, one of those two teams, the Alex Smith Bowl, whether it be Buffalo or Jacksonville, because of Blake Bortles. And someone else came out and said they could really see Eli Manning in a Jags uniform because of how bad Bortles has been. Either one is an upgrade from what they have, in my opinion.
Eli. Alex Smith makes sense. Kansas City can recoup some draft choices that it gave up in the Patrick Mahomes deal and get on with him. Everything they traded up to the top 10 to take Pat Mahomes, he should be the guy. Alex Smith's a nice quarterback.
He's free, though,
at the
end of the year, is he not?
You don't win in spite of him. You rarely win because of him. But I think you could win at a pretty good level with him and with Jacksonville's defense. Maybe he would be the difference.
Isn't he free, though, at the end of the year?
Alex Smith, they have him under contract one more year.
Okay, one more. All right, because I was going to say, otherwise, they want to pay draft picks.
$13 million or whatever it is. Or, yeah, if you can get second and third round draft picks for him or something like that, I think I'd go in with Mahomes next year.
It seems to me like Kansas City's going to blow the whole thing up in terms of from a organizational standpoint of the football coaching staff, whether Andy stays or not. I mean, your offensive coordinator's already gone. It looks like you're leaning towards going to Mahomes as your guy next year. So,
little age on that defense. Tamba Hali's just no good anymore. Justin Houston's still pretty good, but not the guy who beat out J.J. Watt for the sack title 3 years ago. And remember, they lost Eric Berry opening day. Now, the nature of the injury that he's coming back from is real serious, but if they add him to that defense, that's like making a big free agent signing. It just feels like Andy Reid, again, that one exception with the Eagles when they then lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. He's a bridesmaid, not a bride kind of guy. And fitting him in that dress is tough.
Yeah. Would you not, though, Barry and I were talking about this, but would you not, with all of the criticism that Andy Reid's gotten, would you not take him over Bill O'Brien if he was available?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. Because, I mean, that's what I said. You know, he did take a team to a Super Bowl. Yes, he – I mean, look.
He's been in the playoffs like 14 out of 19
Barry
years.
Just brought his record to the forefront. And
11th all-time in wins.
Hammered
60%
Bill
winning
O'Brien's
percentage.
Record.
Showing up's part of the grade. He's been there a long time. I think he's a good coach. I just don't think he's a finisher. He'd get the set of steak knives. He wouldn't get fired, but he'd never get the Cadillac.
I can tell you this. If he had the steak knives and you want to see a finisher, put him in the team meal line. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more as the usual suspects. Barry, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. It's Charlie Pulillo, as he normally does, joining us from 1:30 until 2 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. You can find him as a fixture and the front runner and the lead dog on Sports Map 94.1, 11 to 1 weekdays. I don't know if it's an oversell.
Yeah, that light's burned out, so you'll have no idea ever.
Playing like don't cheat off my test paper with your hands trying to figure out if your light is on. Easiest thing to do is just ask Nick.
Seems to be good.
All right, well, who you got? Who you got going into next week? Well, tonight, too. Who you got tonight? Who you got next week? Who you got tonight first? Let's start with that.
Here's my thing, by the way. Why is it that LeVar Ball is a bigger story than the national championship game in college football?
It's not. People are making it.
No one is talking about the national championship game tonight.
Rick Carlisle is wrong about, well, ESPN's a partner of ours. They should kiss tushy of coaches and be supportive. Rick, grow up a little.
Right.
But his bigger picture premise, ESPN's the lead enabler.
They are.
LeVar Ball, there's a microphone. He's going to talk into it.
And he has this Facebook Live reality show, too, or whatever. But
pretty sure I'll miss
all
that.
Ridiculously stupid.
See, you guys are part of the problem.
We just get.
I knew what that face you were making. I knew what you were doing.
I wanted to talk football. I wanted to talk
that.
And you brought up LeVar Ball.
My biggest problem is, and I'm asking you guys right or wrong, but it seems to me that there's more pubs centered around the Lakers that have now lost 9 of 10 and their dad of their point guard who likes to chime in, as opposed to a national championship game. And I don't know why people just aren't paying enough. Is it because it's two SEC teams?
I think that's part of it.
Is it?
It's a very provincial final. Ratings in the Northeast and Big Ten country tonight. But Alabama and Georgia are both deserving there. Just feels tough to pick against Alabama.
I agree.
But Georgia, we know, has real SEC speed. Georgia did slap around the Auburn team, the second chance, that handled Alabama pretty solidly. If I'm Georgia, I'm completely selling out against the run and making Channelview High School product Jalen Hurts throw the ball.
I kind of feel like
keep
that's
him in
the
pocket. He's just not a very developed, polished passer.
That's the M.O. on both sides, right?
I was just
you sell
say,
out against the run versus Georgia because they've got the two-headed monster with Chubb and Michelle, and you make Fromm beat you with his arm. And that's going to make for a very weird national championship, though. And that's kind of one of those SEC-type things where both sides are going to load the box, and it could be an ugly game is what I'm worried about.
It could be a Buffalo-Jacksonville-type game.
Well, the last conference rematch, and well, Georgia and Alabama didn't play, the last conference national championship game was horrible. Alabama 21, LSU nothing after LSU won in the regular season. I'd be surprised if the winning team scores 28 points, unless they're defensive scores or special team stuff.
Yeah.
But there's the worry that it's too rock'em, sock'em. Hey, is either team unable to move the ball because the defenses are great or maybe the offenses aren't all that? That there's actually been multiple stories about how good both teams' punters are.
Is there really?
You know, that's very
I've not
Texas-esque.
Seen that.
Hey, what's their best weapon? Shane Leckler's punting.
Yeah, a lot of people I know were high on the kicking game for both teams, but man, not that high. I
mean, does it? So Bama is -4. And the over under is 45.5. So I'm guessing you would
definitely.
That's
a 24-21 final would be right about that.
And you would definitely be taking the under on that 45.5.
I would
definitely
lean that way.
That's a strong word. At over 4, I take Georgia because I don't have real strength of conviction in the pick and in part hoping for it's a really close game. I mean, after the last 2 years, man, it better not be a dog.
You were going to say a
not
dog
intended.
In the fight, weren't you?
Yeah. But Georgia's pretty legit defense across the ball. They have a linebacker named number three, Roquan Smith, who it's not like I've seen Georgia play more than 2-3 times this year, but they probably assign him to Hurts. You make sure he doesn't run.
Now, he's the real deal. He will be playing a significant role on Sundays. That guy can play.
Yeah, Alabama's 3 on offense. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, been great since he's a true freshman, but he didn't get the ball enough. So
I thought we were playing Cards Against Humanity again when you said you had a Chubb and Michelle in the backfield. I was like, well, just pick a card.
Fill in the blank.
Easy. He's been doing that, and I didn't comment on it because he said it was a dad joke, and then you did.
Well,
you're not a
there
dad.
You go.
See?
I think it's a weenie pick to pick the favorite, but to not cover when the line is only field goal 3.5. But at least if it's over 3, so I'm thinking, you know, Alabama 27, Georgia 24, something like that.
But would it surprise you if Bama lost this game?
No.
Is there so you feel like this is a close matchup then?
Yeah, I think Georgia's a very worthy SEC champion.
I think Nick Saban better make sure he savors whatever he gets out of this deal, because based on what Kirby Smart's doing, the recruiting classes he's bringing in, the fact that he's bringing a whole lot to what's coming in the future, Nick Saban better be on notice that, hey, it's not going to be the cakewalk that it used to be.
And a reminder to those in Aggieland that you're not the second best job in the SEC or the best job in the SEC. Yes, Georgia Tech plays D1 football, but Georgia Tech is small potatoes. Georgia is the program in that state which has a large population of producing talent, bordered to Florida, where Georgia routinely recruits. I think that Florida and Georgia are both better jobs than A&M, and Alabama's a better job while Nick Saban's there, and LSU certainly as good a job.
Well, Barry and I have talked about it. From a facility standpoint, yes, A&M has great facilities.
But who doesn't
but
now?
I was going to say, look
programs.
At Florida.
Right, Florida's
if you really
a little
see,
bit, but it's not like they practice at Motel 6.
No, once Nike got involved with Florida, and Billy Donovan and all the guys, you know, on both sides, and Urban Meyer when he was at Florida, they pumped up the facilities at Florida, too. They're fantastic. But don't think that Kirby Smart's not going to be putting that A number one on the list too, and they're not going to give him everything he wants based on playing in a national championship game in his first year and the recruiting class that he's bringing in.
Relevant, irrelevant stat, Saban's assistants are 0-11 against him. I'm pretty sure none of them have had the team that Kirby Smart has had. So only being 2 years removed from the program, I wonder if there's a little edge that he makes Alabama have to change a couple of things because Kirby Smart would have that familiarity. Alabama and Georgia have not played in the 2 years because Alabama plays Tennessee every year, so they only play one other SEC East team each season, and it's hardly ever Georgia for some stupid reason. I mean, the border states, there's significant programs.
I mentioned it before, but statistically, when you look at what these two teams have done this year, they're very similar. And, I mean, I know that opponents aren't exactly the same, but it's still the SEC.
Because Alabama's offense is not super potent.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have three, four good running backs, but none of them did what Mark Ingram did when he was there, what Trent Richardson did, what Derrick Henry did. So, yeah,
you're forgetting one. Eddie Lacy was a beast.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Before he ate half the state of Wisconsin.
That's exactly right.
So I'll be surprised if Georgia's at least not hanging into the game well into the second half. It's disappointing because I want to go
game. Don't you guys feel like, too, because, you know, we're talking about the two running backs from Georgia, but if you look at the two running backs from Alabama, and we've had callers even get on this, too, that say, well, they're both going to be, you know, big-time draft picks in the NFL, and they're going to be outstanding. If you look at the track record of Alabama running backs, it's not great in the last couple of years. And I know Bo Scarborough is the new – is he the new Eddie Lacy, or is he going to be the next Mark Ingram, or is he going to be better than both? Because right now, Alabama running backs, whatever they do in college, doesn't seem to translate all that well to the NFL. Now, Derrick Henry, you're right, had a hell of a game the other day.
Ingram's come along, and then Lacy, before he fatted out, was pretty good. Yeah, Trent Richardson, epic bust. Awesome. I wonder with Saban, I guess if you're just a high school stud, you always figure, well, I'll just beat out who's ever there. But you have 3, 4, 5-star recruits. I know math is not the signature of the Alabama program, but you have to be thinking, if I'm going to get 25 carries and win the Heisman, of course, they have produced a couple of Heisman winners. But to save and tell them, you come here, you're going to be prepared to go to the pros, you are going to be a good draft pick, and I'm not going to wear you out like schools who abuse running backs 35, 40 carries per game.
So Alabama's not John Calipari.
The two best running backs on the field tonight off their production are the two Georgia guys.
Yeah,
right? He's Calipari, but not one and done. Just, we're not going to wear you out, but we're going to get you all the exposure, and we're going to send you on your way to the next level.
And he wins a lot of those championships that Calipari's won.
And by the way, I would disagree in terms of losses to former assistant coaches in the category of social media. I think Lane Kiffin's killing him. Lane Kiffin has been fantastic. If you haven't seen it, just taking shots at Saban.
Lane opens at Oklahoma next year.
Oof. Good luck with that.
Yeah, well,
no Baker Mayfield.
True.
That latest tweet where he said, there was an article where Saban said he doesn't yell.
Yell at assistant coaches.
And Lane Kiffin sends out a tweet that says, Coach Nick Saban, I don't yell at my assistants very much at all. Are these real quotes? And then he puts the Pinocchio emoji, which I thought was hilarious to include that.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Call me a liar?
Yeah, well, he's...
Yeah, anybody see last week's game? He berated his offensive coordinator on national TV.
Yeah.
Hey, can we be touchy-feely for 10 seconds?
Okay.
10?
Stay over there, Joel.
Okay.
See Oprah's speech last night?
I did not.
I did. Yeah.
You guys watched the Golden Globes?
I have no choice. My mother-in-law's in town.
I'll skim through. It's like a Jags-Bills game. No chance in hell I'm going to commit 3 hours plus to it.
Right.
But skim through categories and... I will note Halle Berry is 51 years old.
Oh, boy. And you've said it before, Barry.
I've been
but
preaching.
She walked out and you were like, first of all, from a distance, you're like, who is that with her legs and shorts? And all of a sudden, you're like, my goodness, she still looks fantastic.
I'm trying to tell y'all.
Yeah.
So what was the
take on Oprah's speech?
Just powerful in all these times. And Seth Meyers' monologue was pretty good.
Yep.
I did see a lot of people
crushing Harvey Weinstein and
Oprah
Kevin Spacey.
For president. Right. Like, I saw a lot of people on my Facebook and Twitter timeline saying how Oprah would be the next president. I thought, all right,
let's all slow down a little. He was the comedian at the correspondence dinner that Trump said he wouldn't go
right.
to, so they canceled it this year.
No, he did it for Obama when Trump was there.
Right. So it was back then, and Trump was in a crowd, and Myers destroyed him. And so some think that Trump's ego was such that he said, I'm going to run now just to
get
this
back
SLP,
at him.
So last night, Meyer's point was, if that's true, Oprah, you'll never be president. You don't have the chops. You can't. And Hanks, you can never be vice president. You're too endearing and or not likable, whatever. So that was the joke to get them to run to save our country, I guess.
Yeah, because that's what we need. We need another Hollywood type.
But I'll say this. If you hadn't seen her speech, if you go back and it was, you know, a lot of times, especially when people kind of they think they're rambling on. But she was on point. Her transitions were boom, boom. You can tell why she's great at what she does.
And it's easy
done.
To go over the top preachy with that type of stuff, which to me then is counterproductive. But I just thought it was a real strong 8.5 minutes.
Is that what it was, eight and a half minutes?
Yeah.
So if you had to vote, because The Rock is probably going to run, are you going Oprah or are you going The Rock for president? That's your
Rock
only two candidates. That's what America presented you with.
A strong CTE candidate, isn't he?
No.
He played at Miami, and then he
wrestling was all
that. He didn't really play all that much.
He's a hell of an actor because wrestling's all acting.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to memorize all those lines, and he's good. Who you got, The Rock or Oprah?
I believe I would go Oprah on that one.
Joel?
Oprah.
Nick, you going The Rock or you going Oprah?
Oprah.
All right. The man,
where are you going? You can't. We all do. You do this all the time. Now, where are you going?
I ask the questions. I don't have to answer.
No, that's not true. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'd probably go Oprah.
Yeah.
We've had a President Johnson.
That's true.
Two of them.
We got one right now.
We have not had a President Winfrey. You are correct, sir.
I thought you were talking about the one we have right now. All right, so we appreciate it. Charlie is always stopping in. He'll be back on Friday, 1:30 to 2 p.m. You can check him Monday through Friday. Thank you very much. On SportsMap 94.1, 11 to 1 on 94.1 FM.
I'm playing charades with Nick.
Yes, you are, after you've been tapping the microphone.
Guess I would not advance to the final Jeopardy of... So I was going roof.
I got you.
Not on fire.
You're supposed to do this before the music runs out.
Well, it's Monday. What can I tell you?
True.
Hey, a message here for Roof MD and General Contracting, the owner Mark Donaldson, MD. Play along here. Lifelong Houstonian. He will treat you with the same respect and do the same quality job he does for friends and neighbors. If you have a roof, it should be inspected annually. Especially since you can have that done for free. You just call Mark and say, hey, I heard that little radio dude. Really? Free? Yes. And if you're in ship shape, great. If not, you have an A-plus company to do the roof work for you with financing options including zero down for 12 and 18 months or low interest, low monthly payment plans. The general contracting side includes work like window replacement, drywall repair, chimneys, fencing, painting, gutters, and more. Mark is a genuinely down-to-earth guy. I mean, I'm not saying we're besties, but I've spent some time with him, and he's very proud of the work that he does. So take advantage of that, starting with a free roof inspection. Call 832-967-ROOF, 832-967-ROOF. That's Roof MD in General Contracting. Happy New Year from Mark and Company. Throwing, you heard that here on ESPN 97.5.
There you go. Charlie, until Friday, we'll be back with more. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show coming right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.